Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome to Opinionated Marketers with me, Charles Nixon, and Kieran Kapoor from Cambridge Marketing College. Today we're going to talk about pricing and the various aspects of dynamic and surge pricing, also the element of where does everybody get their profits from these days, given the limited amount of growth. Kieran, you were reading a rather interesting article which decided that there was a difference between dynamic and surge pricing.
Yes, well, let's do some definitions just generally as to what we're talking about. So there was an article in the FT that which you saw, there was one on the BBC website, and there was one also in The Guardian, a slightly more jokey one in The Guardian. And basically, dynamic or surge pricing, what we're talking about is changing your pricing depending on other factors. So rather than having a fixed price that stays, you vary it throughout the day or the hour or the month, depending on where demand is. The Guardian suggested the difference between dynamic and surge, and we can discuss this, was that dynamic pricing is changing price in response to lots of factors, and surge pricing was just changing it due to demand factors. I couldn't really see a difference. It's something that most companies have done for many years. It doesn't actually occur to us that it's a problem when your train tickets are more expensive in commuting times than they are in uncommuting times. I was parked in a car park this weekend and it was peak and off-peak car parking. That's all dynamic pricing is. It is varying your pricing depending on either trying to encourage people to do certain things or encouraging people not to go not to be there in peak time, so you even out your demand.
Yes, there's a difference, I think, between that and what's being used as surge pricing these days. And I think the element from the consumer's perspective is knowledge. When we have situations that have built up over time and we are not liking but accept that there is an off-peak and a peak, that there is prices are higher in school holidays than they are when there's no schools on holiday, and similar issues. It's when we start to get new areas that are introduced and are remarkably dynamic, because the ability now of computerized pricing means that you are able to vary your prices on a very frequent basis. As you said, sometimes it may well be within the day. And certainly one of the pub chains was actually putting their prices up around peak drinking time each evening, and people weren't particularly happy, but they weren't being discouraged. So from one perspective, it's being accepted. The problem, I think, these days is that surge pricing is now being used by a lot of corporations under somewhat spurious reasoning as to why they should actually put their prices up just because there is more demand for their product. And that isn't always seen as necessarily something that the consumer likes. So I think the element of education of the consumer is an important one. You don't want to walk in and suddenly find the price is much higher today than it was yesterday for no apparent reason as far as you're concerned. What you do want is an understanding as to the predictability to some degree, I think, so that we can all cope with the changes.
But to some extent, we're merely computerizing something that's already happened. Have you ever been in a country where they barter much more frequently than we do in the UK? If you look interested in something on a market stall, the price starts to go up. If you go away and do the classic English thing of go away, I'll think about it, I'll come back again. By the time you get back, whatever it is, whatever trinket it is that you have set your heart on, will have gone up in price. This is normal. If you, as the female of the partner, looks interested in a trinket, when your partner goes to buy it for you, it will be more expensive. And we just accept this as part of the game. Many cultures see bartering as a game. The British tend to be a bit more reserved about it. So is it really hugely different from that?
Yes, it's significantly different. It's not bartering. It is the issue of bargaining. And that is not the culture to which we have all grown up. There is a certain solidity and knowledge within the purchase price that allows us to plan our budgets, to run our households and to be able to get to the standard of living that we want. If prices are constantly going up on the nature of demand, then there is a problem, which is that we do not have the predictability, which is what we want in a stable society. And I think that is one of the reasons that is going against the grain in this country is the stability aspect. There is, in one respect, you're absolutely right, no unlikely problem if you have knowledge of what's going to happen. If you knew that all the prices in the shops were going to be something that you were going to haggle over, then you would have time to do so. How you're going to do that online, though, becomes an interesting issue. You have to put a bid in and then you have to wait. And if the world was actually in the way in which eBay had put it forward, we would be in a much slower world and a lower economy. It is the certainty of the ability to buy on places like whether it's the new one Temu, which is sweeping the world, or it happens to be Amazon. These are predictable websites where, therefore, it becomes part of the process of life, and pricing is an element of it, not necessarily the dominant factor. And I think that there are companies that are going to get a significant amount of backlash when they introduce things without educating their customers.
So let's look at this from a company point of view. Why would a company be doing this? Well, you've got a number of things, one of which is quite literally to try and smooth demand in the same way that train stations do and car parks do and what have you. It is to try and encourage you to behave in a different way because it is easier for the company.
It's behavioural
economics.
Whether
you like it or not. Yeah, and we've accepted that. That has been an established fact, certainly in the UK, for decades. We've just accepted it. And pubs will do the same. I mean, one of the big chains that they're complaining about is the Slug and Lettuce. But actually, happy hour has been around for a very long time. And again, we accept it. If I go there in happy hour, I pay less. I might not want to go immediately after happy hour because there tends to be lots of inebriated people. If I leave it for another hour, it might be more expensive, but those inebriated people will have gone somewhere else or whatever. I take your point that there is a predictability about it, but from a company perspective, there's a reason for it. If I get people in happy hour, the chances are they will tank up on drinks or they will stay longer. So therefore, it is worth my while doing.
And the interesting aspect is, from a company's perspective, what we have done, of course, is we brought about price discounting to the extent now the consumers expect it on a regular basis. And what we've done is introduced, if you like, surge pricing in the negative over the last decade or two. You know, we have introduced the idea that you can go at a particular time and get a discount. And that has driven demand. It has driven, as you say, the smoothing out of demand in many instances, but it also has meant that companies have been able to survive by cash flow, not necessarily by profitability. And now what is happening, of course, is the other way around, which is that companies are realizing that they could vary it up as well as they could vary it down. The one big issue that I'm saying from a marketer's perspective is you must educate the marketplace. You must bring about predictability in this aspect. In that case, then you know that you can go in on happy hour and get a bargain. If you go in after happy hour, you're going to spend extra. But you're going to go in if you happen to want to have a meeting with a friend, because that's the nature of what you're going for. You're not going because it happens to be cheap or expensive drink necessarily. You're going in for other reasons. So I think that the element that we have to get across here is that from marketers' point of view, advertising promotion is essential to introduce these things. Consumers will necessarily accept it. What they won't accept is it by sleight of hand. And we see the issue about things like shrinkflation being discussed now in Congress in America, with the possibility of legislation being introduced because it is not being informed to the consumer.
Yes, there is a definite element of consumers wanting fairness.
Yes.
There's got to be a two-way traffic. And so long as you're fair and clear with me, I'm sometimes prepared to part with my money or at least consider parting with my money or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yes, I accept that there is a fairness issue. And also certain things come in through custom and owner. You know, we've got used to the idea that certain things are cheaper at certain times and so on. And so there is a custom that is brought in. What I wonder is if in 10 years time, we'll actually just find this is so normal, we don't think twice about it.
Yeah, you could be right. I mean, we did manage to accommodate the idea that certain people were allowed to go shopping at certain times and others were not when we had the pandemic. Mm. So we might end up with a situation that says prices in the morning are cheaper than they are in the afternoon. That becomes the norm. And it's a way of smoothing out the footfall. And indeed, in certain situations, I could well see that in large populated metropolitan cities, that might be a well-used method by making it a reasonable shopping experience rather than the crowded shopping experience in certain supermarkets. So I think that there is positives to be had in the changing of pricing. The biggest issue, as I say, is promotion. But there is, from a corporate perspective, obviously benefit.
I think that's a very good point. Nice to speak to you again, Charles. And we'll speak again next week. Also looking for more growth areas.
We are indeed. This perhaps is one, but we'll look for some more.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.